यमुना तीर वन जाई जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतो श्री श्रीमद भाई चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय ग्रंथा श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తి భవతి నైష్టికీ. హరే కృష్ణ. దిస్ మార్నింగ్ వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ కాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 4 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నారద. నెక్స్ట్ 8. సహ గోదోహనమాత్రం హీ గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగః తీర్థీ పూర్వం తదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హీ గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ తీర్థీ పూర్వం తదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హి గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ తీర్థీ పూర్వం తదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హి గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ తీర్థీ పూర్వం తదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హి గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ తీర్థీ పూర్వం తదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హి గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ కీర్తి పూర్వం సదాశ్రమం. సగోదోహనమాత్రం హి గృహేషు గృహమేధినాం అవేక్షతే మహాభాగస్ కీర్తి పూర్వం సదాశ్రమం. సహ హి శుకదేవ గోస్వామి గోదోహనమాత్రం ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ మిల్కింగ్ ద కౌ హీ సర్టన్లీ గృహేషు ఇన్ ద హౌస్ గృహమేధినాం ఆఫ్ ది హౌస్ హోల్డర్స్ అవేక్షతే వెయిట్స్ మహాభాగః ద మోస్ట్ ఫార్చునేట్ తీర్థీ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ పూర్వన్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మింగ్ తత్ ఆశ్రమం ద రెసిడెన్స్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. హీ శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి వాజ్ అకస్టమ్డ్ టు స్టే ఎట్ ది డోర్ ఆఫ్ అ హౌస్ హోల్డర్ ఓన్లీ లాంగ్ ఇనఫ్ for a cow to be milked, and he did this just to sanctify the residence. Purport. Shukdev Goswami met Emperor Parikshit and explained the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was not accustomed to stay at any householder's residence for more than half an hour at the time of milking the cow. and he would just take alms from the fortunate householder. That was to sanctify the residence by his auspicious presence. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that they have no business with householders save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Such asking for alms from the householder should be for the purpose of sanctifying his home. One who is in the renounced order of life should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. For one who is in the renounced order of life, this is much more dangerous than drinking poison and committing suicide. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. At the outset, I would like to thank all the members here present. They are spending their valuable time. And most importantly, I would like to thank His Grace Radhika Valla Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, who gave me much needed guidance while preparing for the class. Coincidentally, Vasudev Prabhu was here yesterday. So in the course of our discussions, many things turned up. I was just discussing with him that this is the verse I am going to speak about. Sorry. And of course, all the exalted audience here. So while I was reading this in preparing for this class, while I was reading the background, one thing struck me was that there is this famous book by Srila Prabhupada. Most of us have read it at least once, if not more times. It's a small book by the name Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. It is a series of question answers between Bob Cohen, who later became Brahma Tirth Prabhu, and Srila Prabhupada. So when I was reading this section of the first canto, it struck me that actually our scriptures are also in this Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers format. You know, all the Puranas, including the Bhagavad Purana, Upanishads, even Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is also questions and answers. Arjuna putting forth these questions, Lord Krishna answering the questions. So therefore,
as it said, these questions and answers, these kind of discussions, in the first in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse comes, which says, Vasudeva katha prashnaha purusham strin punatihi vaktaram pruchakam shrotrims tatpada sadilam yatha. He says that questions about the pastimes and the characteristics of Vasudeva or Krishna, they actually purify three kinds of persons. These kind of question and answer, these discussions, they purify three types of persons. Vaktaram, the person who is speaking. Shrota, the Vaktaram and the person who is asking the questions, Pruchakam, and the general people who are assembled to hear what is this discussion going on. Just like the water emanating from the toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead purifies all the three worlds. Like Ganga flows in the upper planetary systems known as Mandakini. In the earthly planet she is known as Ganga, and the subterranean planet she is known as Bhogavati. But everywhere she purifies the residents. So therefore, these discussions between the exalted personalities, these questions and answers, these are very important. And their importance is because they are connected to Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees, Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So the previous chapter, third chapter, it concludes with the answer to the sixth question. Most of the speakers have spoken. Six questions, and the sixth question is answered in the concluding verses, which is that where the sages ask, where did religion take shelter after Krishna left this planet? So then the famous verse is Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Adivisaha. So after all that is done, six chapters, like very brilliantly Brajvihari Prabhu said on Sunday, now six questions are answered, so now okay, chalo, katha katham, let's just pack up and leave. So it's really important on the part of the prichakam, the person who are asking the question, to intelligently keep the discussion going. So then Shaunakadi Rishi, they are asking this question. Okay, see, so okay, now we need to hear more. We need to hear more. So then they are beginning with this new series of questions. So then we see in the initial verse why Shaunaka Rishi, we see the qualifications of Shaunaka Rishi. He was elderly, he was the head of the assembly, he was very learned and all this. And then Shaunaka Rishi, he asked Suta Goswami in the second verse to relate the pious messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second verse he says, Srila Prabhupada, he points out in the purport that Shaunaka Rishi, he addresses Suta Goswami twice, Suta Suta, and that Suta Suta is one of the indicators of their eagerness to hear. So that you have to keep the speaker also enthused. Speaker also has to be enthused. There has to be some enthusiasm for him to speak. Of course, Suta Goswami is not a mundane speaker like me or, But then still, that kind of a expression is there by the Shaunakadi Rishis. Then Suta Goswami is asked the following four questions by Shaunaka Rishi. And the first question, it deals basically with the why, when, where and what about the compile, this kind of why it was compiled, where it was compiled, when it was compiled, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it basically deals with the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, about Naimisharanya and Vyasadeva, where did Vyasadeva get the inspiration to write, to compile Srimad Bhagavatam and all that. And after asking questions about Bhagavatam, then Shaunaka Rishi, he asked questions about the speaker of the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami. And that is the series of verses starting from text 4 and concludes with today's verse about the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami. And then they further inquire about the birth and activities of the listener, that is King Parikshit. And ultimately, why did King Parikshit give up everything and sit down to hear all that? So then, the qualities of Sukadeva Goswami are described. And this is being done by the sages of Shravanakadi Rishi. They are saying that he was a Mahayogi, a great devotee, and he was an equibalanced monist. We saw everything very nicely covered by Vrajbihari Prabhu. He was speaking very eloquently on this. Ekanta Mati, whose mind is always concentrated in monism. Unnidra Gudaha, he was transcendental to mundane activities. And how Vrajbihari Prabhu spoke about Yanisha Sarvabhutanam, how when mundane people are engaged in their activities, the yogi is fast asleep, and when he becomes active when they are fast asleep. Very nicely balanced that. And Mudha Iveyata, being unexposed, he appears like an ignorant person. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he translates it that, he translates this as, actually Sukadeva Goswami, he hid himself from the public and appeared to be a fool. Appeared to be a fool. He did not want to just get entangled. Something like what we see in the case of Jadabharat. Jadabharat, he was completely cognizant of his true identity and everything, but he did not want to make the same mistake as he did in his past life. So therefore he just remained aloof. And his identity was revealed only when he opened his mouth to speak. So therefore, then we see this in the next verse. It talks about that the bathing naked damsels did not cover their bodies while Sukadeva Goswami was passing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to this verse, he points out that the women bathing in the water could understand that Sukadeva Goswami had pure vision, vivikta drishti. So Prabhupada writes in his purport that at least theoretically one must be convinced that a living entity is neither male nor female. At least theoretically we should be convinced. Then, text 6, it is asked, how did the citizens of Hastinapur recognize Sukadeva Goswami, who appeared to be like a madman, dumb and retarded? And how did Maharaj Parikshit meet Sukadeva Goswami and made it possible to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? So now, there is an implied question in this verse actually. Why is that, you know, that person Sukadeva Goswami, in the previous verses he is described as, he is so detached, he is trying to hide his identity. But then, such a personality, how did he spend 7 days with the king and speak Srimad Bhagavatam? How did you spend time with the king of all people? So now what is the problem? If we read from the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were canvassing on behalf of King Pratapudra. Please meet, please give him darshan, please give me your mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would continuously refuse it to such an extent that the devotees would say that he is a devotee of Lord Jagannath. He renders so much service to Lord Jagannath. But still Mahaprabhu was very strong on the point that actually because he is engaged in the affairs of the government, it will not be proper for a person in the renounced order to be seen associating closely with such a person. So this was 500 years ago. In the Kali Yuga, this was the standard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set. Just imagine what would be the standards more than 5,000 years ago when Dwapar Yuga was going on. It was towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, but still it was Dwapar Yuga. Just imagine what are the standards expected of a person in the renounced order of life. And when they asked, how did Maharaj Parikshit meet Sukadeva Goswami and how was it possible to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? The implied question is,
How did they meet and associate with each other? A person in the renounced order. And then, that verse brings us to the statement in today's verse. And today's verse says, Sa godohana matrena. He, that is Shukadeva Goswami, was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. First, he is a person in the renounced order of life. He is not supposed to associate closely with a person who is entangled in worldly affairs, like a king. And then, as a renowned person in the renowned sort of life, he spent not more time, you know, just enough time for the cow to be milked. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, 30 minutes, half an hour. And such a person is spending 7 days and 7 nights. All principles are thrown to the air. What happened? How did this happen? So that is the inherent implied question in today's verse. Otherwise, if we just take the verse by itself, it seems out of place. He spends half an hour at a householder's house. So what is the point? The connection is, but he spent 7 days with Parikshit Maharaj. How is this? So then, we should understand from the purport that, the translation it says, Sa godohana matram hi griheshu griham edhina avekshate mahabhagas. The last line is important. Tirthi kurvam stad ashramam. And he did this just to sanctify the residence. Of course, this whole event did not take place in the palace of Shukadeva, of Parikshit Maharaj. But to sanctify the entire atmosphere by this. So, it's not just sanctification of a physical structure. Sanctification is purifying the inhabitants or the persons attending by giving them spiritual benefit. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, that was to sanctify the residence by his auspicious presence. So, this presence is auspicious only as long as there is exchange of spiritual knowledge. Just physical presence and giving of alms will also ultimately benefit the householder. If it is given to a bona fide recipient, that is a prerequisite condition. The recipient should also be qualified to receive such a alms and all those things. But greater benefit is derived when there is interaction between the saintly personalities, and such interactions when they result in the jivas acquiring the spiritual goal of life. Like Srila Prabhupada used to always condemn the attitude of the so-called pious Indians who would like to go to the Tirtha Kshetras and just take bath in the water bodies. Prabhupada would say, that's not so important. More important is, in such Tirtha Kshetras, there are saintly personalities with whom one should associate, and by such association gain spiritual knowledge and gain, most importantly, a spiritual goal of life. So from Shukadeva Goswami's activities, those who are renounced in the, like here Prabhupada writes in the purport, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that, first, they have no business with householders, save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Second, asking of alms, Prabhupada is writing in the purport,
I'm just reading them verbatim. Second, asking of alms from the householder should be only for the purpose of sanctifying his home. And third, the preacher should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. Very lofty statements. So, it is very easy to read these statements, but to practically apply is the crux. So therefore, we should understand that it behooves us who are on this path of spirituality where we are aiming for the highest goal that is possible, prema pumartho mahan. It behooves us that we have to somehow or the other slowly, slowly, as they say, you know, in Hindi there is this saying, sau sunar ki, ek luhar ki. So for some people, it might be like one moment of epiphany and the whole life transforms. But for most of us, at least for me, it is like a daily, you know, sau sunar ki. Daily, slowly, 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 slowly. But that effort should always be there that we have to transform our life in such a way that we should be able to reach to this standard of what is a preacher. These 3 points that Prabhupada has given us. So, in this regard, when I was discussing with Vasudev Prabhu, because, again, as I said previously, the standards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standards of sannyasi and the association with the worldly people, quote unquote worldly people, and then we see the standards about Sukadeva Goswami, and today we are in the 21st century. So therefore, we should understand, of course, these are scriptural writings, but that doesn't mean we should be able to understand how to apply these understandings, these principles in the current day and age, according to time, place and circumstance. Like for example, it is not more than 40, 50 years Srila Prabhupada has written his Bhaktivedanta purports. And there are so many places in his purports which really stump us. Like for example, a classic example is when Prabhupada uses that analogy of the post box to explain what is the difference between a deity and an idol or a statue. Now, if we try to use that analogy in today's day and age about the post box, who is among the young people or among our audience who has seen a post box? Or for that matter, forget about who uses a pen and paper to write. Very rarely. At most, they might know the post box icon or mailbox icon on the screen. If you say mailbox, they'll know, that app is there, mailbox app is there. Utna hi malum hai. So the point is, the principle still stands. The difference between the idol and the deity, there is a difference. And that principle still holds. But then we have to change the style in which we explain the same thing. So principles cannot change. But how we present those principles, they are different. So like for example, we were discussing about how Sukadeva Goswami, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are asking, Shravanagadi Rishi are asking, how did he spend time, he associated with Sukadeva Goswami, associated with Parikshit Maharaj? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also refusing to associate with Prataprudha Maharaj. But then we know,
Srila Prabhupada, we know he has written down his plans for meeting Indira Gandhi and what were the points that he wanted to discuss with her. Very point blank he has written down. These are all written, recorded facts. Now if you see the disparity, he wanted to meet Indira Gandhi, who was first the leader of the nation, prime minister, so-called like a king. And second, she was a woman. How can a sannyasi meeting a woman is again another aspect. But then, as it said, Vasudev Prabhu quoted a very nice Subhashit in this connection. Very nice connection. So I wanted to quote that. He said, Ayuktam Swamino Yuktam. Yuktam Nichasya Dushanam. Amritam Rahave Mrityu Visham Shankara Bhushanam. Ayuktam Swamino Yuktam. That means something which is improper in general terms, it is improper. But it is proper to the self-controlled person. Swami, who is a Swami. Self-control, who is the master of his senses, Swami. So, something which is in the general eye, which is ayukta, or which is improper, is proper to the self-controlled person. Whereas, something which is proper in the general eye, yuktam, is nichasya dushanam. For somebody who is wicked, such a person, even something which is proper, turns out to be, is adverse. So the example is given from the scriptures. Amritam is actually life-giving. Amrit is life-giving. Nectar is life-giving. Amritam, Rahave Mrityu. Amrit became the cause of death for Rahu. And the most strong poison, Halahal, Visham, Shankara Bhushanam, became an ornament to the neck of Lord Shiva. Visham Shankara Bhushanam. So it depends on who is the person who is handling. So Prabhupada, because he is a self-controlled sage, he could have that kind of a... So therefore we should understand that there are personalities within our society. It is not that everybody can do that. But still, if somebody is doing it, we should understand that he is specially empowered. And then, most importantly, it is very important that how we deal with these kind of persons or these kind of situations is very crucial. Because in another place it is said that when you associate very closely, then there is a chance to get destroyed. Or when you are too far away, then you will not get the desired benefit. When we deal with, there are three things, very nicely it is said. So the service should be done in such a way, we should find the medium path in such a way that our service should be performed. The service to the mission of the Lord has to be taken. So when we deal with king, fire and guru, in these three situations, too much of closeness can be cause of destruction. Atyasan na vinashaya. Durastham na phalapradam. If you are too far off, then there is no benefit derived. Sevantam madhya bhagena raja vanni gurutrayam. So when we deal with, so therefore these kind of dealings have to be done very carefully with lot of guidance and lot of inspiration from the scriptures. But we should understand, it is not impossible. It is not impossible. Why? Like it is said, amantram aksharam nasti. There is no letter in the Sanskrit alphabet which cannot be a mantra by itself. Like if we take the first letter ka, ka can stand for Brahma, just ka can indicate Brahma, can indicate Vishnu, can indicate Kamadev, it can indicate Vayu, Agni, depending on which context it is used. Then just the letter kha, second letter, it indicates sky. So therefore when we talk about birds, or you know, birds, they are called as khaga, those that fly in the sky. Kha. Kha means sky, or the sense of perception, or it's also called a void, is also called as kha. So similarly, every letter, every akshar is a word in itself, and it can be a mantra. So, amantram aksharam nasti, nasti moolam anausadam. And there is no root cannot be a medicine. Which cannot be a medicine. Like, we see that even those that are some poisonous fruits are there or some, they are used to treat, you know, like they say in Hindi, what is that? What is poison? Vish ko vish hi kaatta hai. Vish ko vish hi kaatta hai. So even poisonous roots rahega, even if there are some poisonous roots or poisonous fruits, they are used for treating poison only. Effect when somebody is affected by poison. And ayogya purusho nasti. A person is never totally useless. You know? At the most, somebody can at least even be used as a bad example. Dekho, uske aisa nahi hona chahiye. Never be like him. Uske, don't be like him. Uska bhi use hai. Nobody can be totally useless. I mean, there is one very classic case in the United States. There was this young person, his name is Frank Abagnale. And this person, by the age of 15 years, he had done so much of fraud, bank check frauds. He used to write fake checks, counterfeit checks, and he used to impersonate people. He would impersonate himself as a Pan-American pilot. And he had flown more than a million miles all over the US. Just impersonating, uniform pehen liya, chal diya. Aaj ye flight mein baithe, wo chale. You could find out some, what are the technical terms that they speak, and you would fly. I mean, he didn't know flying, huh? He would just say that, my flight is, in New York, he would come to the airport and say, actually, I have to report for duty at Chicago, and then I'll take a plan. And then they give lift, an empty seat, for this, their employee. So like that he flew all over America, and then he wrote so many millions of dollars of fraud checks and everything. Ultimately he was caught. But after he was caught, he spent less than 5 years in prison. And after that, he was recruited by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to help them crack such kind of fraud check cases. Because they could not identify which is a genuine check, which is a fraud check. And this person was very expert. He was so expert that his checks were considered more genuine than actually genuine checks. So, and ultimately he created his Frank Abagnale consultancy. He has a consultancy to aid people finding out all these kind of financial frauds, to help them recover from financial frauds. So the point is, ayogya purusho nasti. This is a very mundane example. A very materialistic example. But still, we see, as I said, even if somebody is so useless, you can be at least used as an example. Don't be like him. But what is the condition? When is amantram aksharam nasti? When is nasti moolam anaushadham? When is ayogya purusho nasti? Yojaka tatra durlabham. The rare part is when you find a person who can utilize even this kind of everything properly, who can make a proper use of everything. Yojaka. who can use all these things properly. Yojaka tatra durlabham. So that is the expertise that is needed. Even though it is, we have to understand how in the current times and age, how to apply this same what is given in the our scriptures, how to apply it, so that we can fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to conclude, I would just like to talk about three kinds of mentalities or vrittis in the scriptures. This also I have heard from Vasudeva Prabhu's lecture only, he had spoken previously when he gave class. He spoke about three kinds of mentalities or vrittis that a person may have. First is Angaraka vritti, second is Malakara vritti, and third is Madhukara vritti. So Angaraka vritti means, Angaraka is a person who makes coal, and coal is made from wood. So this person, he goes into the forest, he cuts down the tree, and he burns it to make coal out of it. And he is just taking resources from the forest, cutting trees every day. He is cutting trees, burning them, making coal, and then he is getting some result out of it. But he is not concerned about contributing back. What will happen when all the trees are cut down? No reforestation plan, no replanting plan, nothing. Just taking. No contribution back. That is Angaraka vritti. Second is Malakara vritti. Now somebody who is a Malakar or a person who is making garlands, Matajis are making garlands. When they make garlands, the person who is making garlands, they go to the forest and they pluck the flowers from the trees. They don't harm the trees. Tree is intact as it is, new flowers will grow next day. Again next day they can go and pluck the flowers. Again they can make garlands every day on a daily basis as long as the season lasts. So Malakara vritti, plucking the flowers, making garlands and making very nice use of it. If he uses it for decorating the deities, or they can be used for personal use also, it's up to them. But the important point is, even though he is taking something, but he is not destroying the resource. And he may not be contributing also, but there is no destruction. And the third, and the very important, which is very important for all of us as practicing sadhakas, is the Madhukara vritti. Madhukara vritti is talking about the honeybee. The honeybee goes to every flower, and from every flower, it takes a little nectar. It takes a little nectar. And by taking that nectar, while taking that nectar, the flower is not harmed, the tree is not harmed, there is no harm. But rather, for the tree and for the flower, what is happening is, this honeybee is carrying the pollen grains from other flowers and pollinating the flowers, which sustains the trees and actually it gives the new life. Okay. And not only that, this nectar also which it has collected, it is not for itself. It goes and deposits it in the beehive and creating that very wonderful substance which we know as honey. Not that for drink, khud pita hai, it doesn't drink honey itself. They just collect. And somebody else uses it. Maybe for the abhishek of the Lord, or preparing some preparation for the offering to the Lord. So, after doing all that, energy, spending energy, collecting the nectar, and in the process, pollinating the trees, giving them also benefit. So here there is, we see Madhukara vritti, where even though there is some kind of a collection, but there is more importantly, more of contribution. How much we contribute. So when we read about these lines in the purport by Prabhupada, where Prabhupada says, they have no business with householders. save and accept to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. This is the point that is highlighted. How much is contributed to the society at large? How much is the contribution on behalf of, like we have His Grace, Shadbhuj Prabhu. Come rain, come heat, come the chill of winter, whether it is raining, whether as soon as he gets an opportunity, as soon as the lockdown is relaxed, he is out there on the streets distributing the holy name to the fallen conditioned souls of this material world. Whatever happens, he is there, he is distributing. I actually told him, it is raining, why you are going out in the rain? You might fall sick, you have other services, those services might be impeded. But he just doesn't give any heed to all these things. Because he is like a person who understands that I have to contribute. Understands this. That save and accept to enlighten them in spiritual knowledge. Somehow or the other. And not just Harinam. Harinam they are giving, at the same time they are giving out books of Srila Prabhupada. I always see, they are carrying, some of them are carrying books, some of them are chanting. So this is a very critical lesson that we should imbibe, that of course, how much we contribute to society at large, in terms of the enlightening them in transcendental knowledge. And thereby, whatever alms we get, like Prabhupada says, asking of alms from the householder should be for the purpose of sanctifying the residence. It's not that by his giving we are benefited, rather by their giving they are benefited. So that opportunity is also awarded to the people. So this is some words that I had to share in this topic. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, we can take, otherwise it's almost time. Yes, Braj Mohan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, thank you. Brilliant verses and focusing on this. This Godohana Matram, I used to have an understanding that the sadhus used to go while the grahasthas were milking the cow, and that time they used to give the knowledge. Because in some classes also I have heard that way. Can you clarify that? No,
it is said here, na. Translation is very clear. He was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. So he would spend time only for long enough for a cow to be milked. Not necessarily when the cow is being milked.
So
the emphasis is because cow is
not literal.
Cow is milked twice a day. At least 4 in the morning, or later when they come back, 6 in the evening. Okay. Twice a day they milk the cow. So it may be also, but not necessarily that exactly at that time. The point is, whenever the sadhu goes for begging alms, His job is not to just keep hanging around there. Just spend time, give them transcend spiritual knowledge, and whatever little alms they give, so that they are benefited, take that and leave the place. So the emphasis is, don't hang around there. It might be when they are actually milking the cow, but not necessarily it is like that. Because if they go early in the morning, that means they get the benefit of Brahma Murta also. You were saying something else?
Another thing was about the alms. Usually, you know, sadhus don't, and we usually tend to not take the somebody only when it is four. So, how exactly, like, if whatever they give, the sadhu accepts, because in some countries, like, you know, they use this principle to even accept non-veg. The monks, whatever they give, we should accept. So, can
as long as it doesn't compromise your personal principles which you are practicing. So, I don't know about this non-veg aspect.
In Thailand, China, Buddhist monks, they say, we are not cooking and eating because others are giving us this. We are accepting because that's the principle.
So I don't know what are the principles they follow, but as long as if we are talking about the devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness, we have this very clear principle about no meat eating. So therefore, we should ensure that, and we can refuse also. But apart from that, just for that taste, you know, no, I don't like rice. If you have paratha, if you can give me paratha, that kind of a thing is not advised. So in that sense, we don't make choices. We accept what they give. But as I said, if it is compromising on any of our principles which we are practicing personally, then better we, you know, gratefully refuse. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.